So over the course of the protests, the last week or so, we've seen a number of monuments, statues, and buildings defaced, and some monuments even toppled. In D.C., that was certainly the case. There are a number of them there. London overnight made news. Protesters toppled a statue of a slave trader and pushed it into the river. Seeing it in other places in Europe, we've seen it here in the United States. There's so many of them. There's actually a Wikipedia page just for this. List of monuments and memorials removed during the George Floyd protests. And it goes through pretty much city by city, and it talks about which ones were removed. A couple of them were removed kind of proactively by people who wanted to preserve them, like the bust of Robert E. Lee in Fort Myers, Florida, that was removed by the Sons of Confederate Veterans. Go on to the Confederate Soldier and Sailors Monument, removed by the city in Birmingham, Alabama, May 31st. Then the ones, some of them removed by, toppled by protesters, statue of Charles Lynn in Birmingham, Alabama, another one, some other Confederate monuments across the South were toppled by protesters, statue of William Carter Wickham in Richmond, Virginia, June 6th, a couple days ago, toppled by protesters, and one of Robert E. Lee at the Robert E. Lee High School at Montgomery, Alabama, also toppled. So you see this kind of thing going on, and thankfully the violence and the kinds of things we've seen a couple days ago have sort of subsided, certainly in the Chicago area. We've seen thousands turn out for very peaceful protests. But as you hear about this, what are your thoughts that this kind of thing has been happening? It's not something new. We've had all kinds of discussions here in Chicago over the years about the symbols of different, the Columbus Day was dropped by CPS, Indigenous Peoples Day. We saw that. You saw, Balbo was considered to be renamed and renamed for, they eventually decided Congress Parkway would be named Ida B. Wells. Italian Americans fought up about Columbus Day and had problems with Balbo. And you've seen this kind of thing that these symbols are toppled or removed and just kind of are defaced. Here locally, something else happened last night, and it's not where you might expect. It's in Kenilworth. Two recent New Trier grads went to the village board meeting armed with a petition and nearly 2,000 signatures, and the demand that James Sears, the founder of Kenilworth, original landowner there, that his name be removed from a local school, and I'm thinking public buildings across town. They say he set up Kenilworth as a white community and shouldn't be celebrated or honored in this way. What do you think? 312-981-7200. Your thoughts on this whole issue. Join into the conversation. Let's hear from the guys, though, behind the petition. Jack Yanover, Solomon Podorowski, both of them. You guys were, at the board meeting last night stating your case, right? Thanks for being on WGN.
Thank you for having us. Yeah, that's right. So the board meeting yesterday was hosted on Zoom, and so me, Solomon, the creators of the petition, as well as some of our friends, tuned in to kind of elaborate on our position and why we felt so strongly about this issue. And you kind of already said it yourself, Joseph Sears, the man who created Kenilworth and the school is named after, explicitly stated, as our research showed, that he only wanted Caucasians, which also excluded Jews, and really was just meant white people, to purchase land in Kenilworth. And unfortunately, the residual effects of that still show, and that's what people have been talking about recently. This idea of institutionalized racism is very well summed up by Joseph Sears' philosophy, which was Caucasians only. And so the two of us feel strongly, especially in light of the current issues, that a man like this is not honored by any school. And even more importantly, we educate our students about this history and why our area is so white.
Mm-hmm. Jack and I, you know, seeing like what's been happening in our country over the past couple weeks with these George Floyd protests, felt that we had a responsibility to use our privilege to try to get something within our community changed. And as we learned more about Joseph Sears and the role he had in in making our township in making our township whiter and in reducing the diversity within Kenilworth specifically, we couldn't stand for his name to be honored as the middle school in Kenilworth. We think that renaming it would be an educational opportunity. In the New Trier Township, most kids really only know like Rosa Parks, Martin Luther King, Brown versus Board, and Malcolm X. But, you know, since then, there's been 50 years of fighting for racial equity, and our country still is not in the position that it has to be. And a step like this taken from Kenilworth could be a great opportunity to give the next generation more insight as to how we can further equity and diversity within our communities in the future.
Let me ask you about that. Kenilworth, very wealthy community. In fact, I've seen it on lists of some of the top wealthiest, you know, places in the country in terms of places to live. Right now, you can move there if you're of any color. Do you feel as if the attitudes out there are not welcoming of outsiders even to this day? Or is that not what this is about?
You know, I think among the residents themselves, the attitudes aren't that bad. However, like, the bias that people have towards Kenilworth kind of stems from fear. It wasn't until recently that many homeowners decided that they would sell their homes to people of color. My father in particular was considering buying a home in Kenilworth, and as a Jew, many of his friends told him not to. And that was an attitude that many thought that the residents of Kenilworth had. Even if they don't have it, I think that changing the name of their school could be a really great move to broadcast the notion that they are open to more diversity.
How was it received? Let me ask you that. So did they, how did the village, the board meeting, they heard you, they accepted your petition. What happened then?
That's right. So we got a pretty positive reception, I have to say. There's been no formal move, at least as far as we know, to actually make a change. But it was clear that the board was receptive to our ideas. They understood where we were coming from. They also received a lot of emails. So it seems like something that they're open to. I think we still need to, you know, increase pressure from the outside and continue to push for this change. Because as Solomon was saying, there is a fear on the outside of Kenilworth a little bit, a bad reputation, at least I know personally in the Jewish community, and I imagine with people of color as well. And doing something like this, changing the name, sure. The name of the school is not actively necessarily hurting anyone, but it's both an educational opportunity and a way for Kenilworth to really formally condemn their racist past and say, we want to move on to this and move forward as a more equitable society and a more open society.
Well, let me ask you about that. You just touched on something. Some might say, well, why don't you just make it a teaching moment? You can't erase the fact that this is the man who bought the land initially and divvied it up and formed the community. That you can't erase what he did either and his feelings about supremacy and that kind of thing. Why not make it a teaching moment? And it's at a school, to allow people to understand this is a part of history and this is why we need to teach you about what happened in the past and have conversations about why that wasn't right.
Well, I certainly agree with that it needs to be a teaching moment, and we do not want to completely erase this man from the history books, because kids should understand his role in creating Kenilworth and, you know, who he was and what he set out to do. I think it's a two-step issue that to create this fix. So I think, number one, it's ultimately hypocritical to teach our kids that racism is a bad thing in a schoolhouse named after this man who wanted to create a Caucasian-only society. So as you said, we need to teach our kids about him still. So I think we'd like to, you know, rename the school and to honor someone who from Kenilworth who deserves that praise. But then at the same time, we cannot allow our students to go through school without understanding the history of how this town was made and who Joseph Sears was. But talking to kids that went to that school, we know that currently they do not learn the history of Joseph Sears. So I don't believe erasing his name is going to erase that part of history as well.
I also think that there's something to be said that within the specific act of founding the school that he's being praised for, Sears made sure that one of the provisions in terms of how Kenilworth was set up was that all residents would be Caucasians. And so, like, I think that obviously many of the historical figures that we look at in schools did have dark sides to their characters. The specific act of founding that Joseph Sears is being praised for was racist within itself. And I think, as Jack so expertly put it, perfectly put it, it's hypocritical to be so anti-racist in a school named after someone who contributed to institutional racism.
I hear you. I just want to ask something, then I'm going to go to the phones too and see what other people have to say about this, people listening. Does it extend as far as is Washington and Jefferson? You talk about slave owners, founding fathers. I mean, isn't that a problem for kids to be Would you apply the same logic to that, that you're saying that kids would feel uncomfortable in that environment? Does it go that far, and you think that Washington and Jefferson should be removed as well?
Well, I think it's less about comfort and more about what we're really saying. Joseph Sears, as a man, was not necessarily the most exceptional guy. George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, these are some of the most important men in our history. We should learn the extent of what they did, the nuances of them, but they obviously are more important figures than someone like Joseph Sears. Now, if you want to say locally, Joseph Sears was very important, I would agree, but I think a defining characteristic of what he did was creating a Caucasian-only society. I have a lot better things to say about George Washington and Thomas Jefferson, who are very nuanced figures, but we should learn both sides of history. I just do not believe that Joseph Sears should be considered among those great figures.
You guys are impressive folks. You saved your case, and you made a good one. And I imagine the Village of Kenilworth will respond, and I hope you keep us posted on what you hear there. Thank you. Thanks for calling in, guys, and keep us posted.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, really appreciate it.
Jack Yanover, Solomon Podorowski, both stated their case. You just heard them there. They did it last night as well. Your thoughts on this, 312-981-7200, way into this conversation.